Imagine this. It's the mid-1700s. You are not just running a company. You are running an empire. You have your own army, your own ports, your own currency. You decide who trades. You decide who rules. You are the British East India Company, what many call the most powerful corporation in history. In just a few decades, your name becomes synonymous with greed, rebellion, and collapse. What happened? This isn't just a history lesson. It's a case study in what happens when organizational power outgrows evolutionary stability. You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success. Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Niklas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And you are listening to part three of our five-part mini-series, Transform or Die: Leadership Lessons from Business Evolution. Stick with me until the end, because today we're peeling back the rise and fall of the original corporate superpower and what it teaches us about power, overreach, and the limits of domination. Let's dive in. Have you ever thought a company could be synonymous with being or maybe becoming a country? The British East India Company was founded in 1600 as a humble trading firm. Its charter from Queen Elizabeth I gave it a monopoly on English trade in the East Indies, but it quickly grew into something much bigger. By the mid-1700s, it wasn't just trading tea and spices. It was governing territory, taxing citizens, waging wars, and appointing rulers. It had its own private army, its own navy, its own diplomacy. In evolutionary terms, it had reached apex predator status. But biology and history show us something crucial. When one organism dominates too absolutely, the ecosystem destabilizes, and destabilized systems push back. Stick with me, because we're about to see how power, unchecked, sows the seeds of collapse. The East India Company's rule over India was built on extractive economics. They imposed taxes, seized crops, monopolized exports, and exploited local rulers. At first, this created massive returns. In 1765, the company's revenue from Bengal was 10 times higher than its trade income from all other regions combined. But it also triggered something deeper: coalitional resistance. As Van Vugt and colleagues note in their Evolutionary Leadership Framework 2014, and again we have all the literature sources in the show notes, dominant hierarchies breed resentment, especially when resources are extracted without reciprocity. By the early 1800s, peasants, artisans, and even soldiers under company command, known as sepoys, were joining quiet rebellions. The company didn't adjust. Instead, it doubled down. More control, more taxation, more oversight. But in 1857, the ecosystem snapped. That year, one of the largest rebellions in colonial history exploded across northern India. The Sepoy Rebellion, as the British called it, the First War of Independence, as Indian historians now refer to it. It was brutal, bloody, and born of decades of ignored signals. In response, the British Crown stepped in, dissolved the company, and took direct control of India in 1858. The world's first true multinational corporation was no more. What brought down the East India Company still applies to organizations today, just in subtler, systemic ways. All right, here are three evolutionary leadership lessons. One, absolute power breeds instability. The company's unchecked growth allowed it to operate without oversight. But as Adam Smith warned in The Wealth of Nations, 1776, no entity can simultaneously serve shareholders to the optimum and govern people completely fairly. When your organization accumulates power faster than it accumulates trust, instability follows. Modern parallel? Think about tech giants today, navigating antitrust concerns and social backlash. Lesson? Build legitimacy as you scale. Create checks. Diversify leadership. Listen to those you affect, even when you don't have to. What's the lesson two? Well, coalitions form in the shadows. Evolutionary biology tells us that when one entity becomes too dominant, others form coalitions to push back. The East India Company never saw it coming. They underestimated sepoy unrest. They ignored local grievances. They assumed fear would hold the system together. It never does. But resentment always organizes quietly, then explosively. In today's world, your coalition opponents may be regulators, customers, employees, competitors who were once too small to notice. Don't wait until they have aligned. Lead with shared purpose before you become a common enemy. And lesson three, mission drift is organizational decay. The company began as a trading entity. It ended as an imperial bureaucracy. That drift from commerce to conquest destroyed its agility, culture, and focus. It became too big to adapt, too political to maneuver. Sound familiar? Organizations that lose their original evolutionary purpose become vulnerable to smaller, sharper rivals. Ask yourself, are we still doing what we were built to do? Or have we drifted into defending power instead of creating value? Because when mission erodes, collapse isn't far behind. All right, let's bring this home. The British East India Company didn't fall because it lacked strategy. It fell because it ignored the limits of its environment. It became too dominant. It suppressed opposition instead of engaging it. It forgot what it was originally meant to do. And in doing so, it lost trust, triggered revolt, and became obsolete. Modern leaders, especially in large organizations, should take note. Power is seductive. Growth is addictive. But evolution demands balance. You don't need to run a country to fall into the same trap. You just need to forget to listen, lose your mission, and assume you'll always be on top. The environment always pushes back. The question is, will you adapt or be dismantled? Okay, that was it for today. If this episode gave you something to think about, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who's passionate about leadership. And don't miss next week's episode, part 4 of this series, when we explore the rise and fall of Bethlehem Steel and what happens when an industrial titan fails to reinvent itself in time. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until then, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.